maybe, just maybe, some resolution.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this Wednesday morning. We've been hearing about it for weeks. Today, we could get details of a settlement between the Swiss bank UBS and the American government. The deal has to do with a lawsuit over thousands of secret accounts from New York. Here's Marketplace's Elisa Roth.
UBS will probably announce it's handing over a list of 5,000 American account holders. That's a lot less than the 52,000 the United States had originally asked for. But it's still a big deal because it could mean the end of the secret Swiss bank account. The U.S. had accused the Swiss bank of helping its citizens evade taxes. Meanwhile, a tax amnesty program has been encouraging wealthy Americans to disclose their offshore bank accounts. And the Wall Street Journal's reporting today that the program has helped the IRS identify several new European banks, including Credit Suisse, where Americans have accounts. The article also points out that none of those banks have been accused of doing anything wrong. At the same time, banking experts say just because Switzerland opens its books probably doesn't mean its consumer banking industry will shut down. The country's still an attractive place to store money because of things like its location and stability. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Not so much zing in world markets today. European shares are down across the board right now, mostly under 1%. Asian shares closed lower today. The Chinese benchmark lost more than 4.5%, and in the past 2 weeks, it's been down 20%. The Hang Seng was down nearly 1.75%, its lowest showing in a month. A little green on Wall Street yesterday. The S&P 500 added 1%, the NASDAQ to around 100, about 1%, I should say, and the Dow a little under 1%. Stock futures are lower today, by the way. And oil prices fell below $69 a barrel in Asia. Some earnings reports before Wall Street opens. Deere & Company, the farm equipment maker, said today its third quarter profit tumbled 27%, but the report beat Wall Street expectations. Profits at Hewlett-Packard dropped by 19% in the latest quarter. The company blames sales of personal computers and printer ink. Brett Favre, the football player, just can't seem to retire. After a couple of attempts in his many years, the NFL legend has agreed to come back, this time with the Minnesota Vikings. Marketplace's Amy Scott looked into what the news could mean for the team's bottom line.
Brett Favre's second comeback is causing a stir in the Twin Cities. For 16 seasons, he played for the Vikings' arch rivals, the Green Bay Packers. University of Minnesota marketing professor George John says his son called him from football camp to share the news.
He's the most recognized football figure in the upper Midwest. People are passionate about him, and the casual fan will be energized by this.
That energy could mean big business for the Vikings in sales of tickets and purple number 4 jerseys. Paul Swangard teaches sports marketing at the University of Oregon.
Licensing revenue, butts and seats, and obviously the sponsors and the advertisers who will want to associate them all combined together, it's a nice little benefit.
The Vikings are taking a risk. After a strong start with the New York Jets last season, Favre's performance fell apart. But with several NFL records under his belt, Viking fans hope Favre is just what the team needs to make a run for the Super Bowl. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
A government report out today says the percentage of Americans aged 50 to 59 who reported use of illicit drugs within a year nearly doubled between 2002 and 2007. The report says the percentage went up because those baby boomers continued to use drugs as they got older.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
General Motors' board of directors will discuss the sale of its Opel division Friday. Two companies are reportedly in the hunt for GM's European operations, Magna and RHJ. Reuters reports today the GM board could recommend a suitor at that meeting on Friday. The European Commission in Brussels has launched an inquiry into exploding iPods. Consumer protection officials are investigating claims in a handful of European countries that both iPods and iPhones have combusted. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, joins us this morning with more. Hi, Stephen.
Good morning, Steve.
So what's going on with this?
There's been a small series of reported incidents in Britain, France, Holland, Sweden, where iPhones and iPods suddenly caught fire. They burst into flames. In the French case, it was an iPhone which started to crackle and pop before it exploded. In the British case, it was an iPod which started hissing before it went up in a terrific puff of smoke 10 feet in the air.
So it sounds pretty dangerous. I mean, anybody injured from these explosions?
Not seriously, it seems, although in one case, apparently, a bystander suffered minor eye injuries from metal and plastic splinters. There's been some damage to property. A car seat apparently was severely burnt, and all the devices, all the iPhones and the iPods concerned, were apparently totally destroyed.
So the European Commission is launching this investigation. What is Apple saying?
Apple says these are isolated incidents. We're talking here about fewer than a dozen cases that have been reported. And the company points out 226 million of these devices, all the different iPods and the iPhone, have been sold in Europe. So they're saying this is not a widespread problem, but they're waiting to receive the remnants of the blown up iPods and iPhones to find out exactly what went wrong.
Stephen Beer joining us from London this morning. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Finally, how much would you pay to rest eternally above Marilyn Monroe? Elsie Poncher of Beverly Hills needs some cash to pay off her $1 million-plus mortgage. So she's selling the space her dead husband's in, which happens to be the old slot of Monroe's ex-husband, baseball great Joe DiMaggio. Poncher's husband, Richard, died 23 years ago, but according to the Los Angeles Times, bought the space from Jolton Joe during his divorce from Monroe way back in 1954. Now, the widow Poncher wants to place Richard's body in a more budget-sensible slot. I just checked eBay a few minutes ago. The crypt has 17 bids now, the highest at just above $4.5 million. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great day.
American Public Media.